Last Word on Today
FM. Elon Musk is big smiles now because basically Donald Trump says he wants to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars. Yeah, it's going to be American territory. Musk has had the ambition for many years to get to Mars. And you can see now that he's got so much of the ear of Donald Trump, he's getting what he's getting. Speaking of ears, I was saved by God to make America great again. That was one hell of a line, Marion McCone, wasn't it, from Donald Trump's inauguration speech. It wasn't that he was lucky that the bullet missed him. It was he was saved by God to make America great again.
Oh, absolutely. And that has been the narrative from that day, July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania, that this was the act of God. Trump has sold so much merch on the back of this, all these pictures of Jesus at his shoulder, the angels protecting him, etc., etc. But what concerned me more was the narrative before, is where the narrative now amongst Trump and the MAGA base is that he didn't say it was a lone gunman, a deranged assassin. He made it as part of a continuum of the persecution of him by the left, as though the Democrats had something to do with it. And I find that a little disturbing and a little concerning.
More listener comments coming in. This speech is unbelievable and not in a good way. His crazy ideas will have ripple effects all over the world. How did America let this happen? Another one says, Trump's agenda is the exact same as the last time. I'll undo everything the other side did and the idiots cheer him on every time. He really is not a serious person. He's a moron and he's proving it all over again. What a pathetic excuse for a man and what a sad country the US has become. Once the envy of the world, they're now a joke. Well, funny enough, he keeps going on, we were once the envy of the world, that we're now a joke, and he's going to solve all of that. So he has given all of his prescription as to how he's going to do this.
What Trump does, and there are two things that I think are the mark of an authoritarian. First of all, he invents things, problems that didn't exist. Crime is not soaring. There are not millions of illegal aliens being released from prisons and mental institutions around the world and coming into America. The economy is not in the toilet. In fact, the economy, Biden has handed Trump a booming economy. So if he were to be honest, crime is low. There has been a crisis at the border, but that crisis has now. People are not coming in. There is no emergency. And I really wonder whether or not, well, but the Supreme Court is so supine, he probably can. But the Enemies Act that he referred to of 1798 can only be used against a country with which America is at war. Now, America is not at war with Mexico at the moment. It is not at war with any of the countries where undocumented migrants and asylum seekers are seeking to get into America. So will he be allowed to use that? Will he be allowed to send the military to the border? As I say, there's a lot to be worried about with this. We also have him promising to drill, baby, drill, talking about, you know, his words about justice and saying an executive order to end censorship, government censorship. There is no government censorship. And all these absurd new apartments, external revenue, we'll see how that works. We'll see how the Doge works. Vivek Ramaswamy has already left. You know, I find a lot of this, as I say, he's inventing things so he can take credit for it. He's inventing crises so he can take credit for the resolution. We'll see how he deals with the actual real crises and the real problems facing America.
A listener says, this is from Art, I love the two genders only line. Finally, somebody with the gonads to tell the truth. I love Trump. There's a few people sending in that they love Trump in relation to this. So how's that particular aspect of the culture wars likely to play, do you think?
Well, I think it's never ending, isn't it? And, you know, there are a lot of people, like half of America, he didn't quite get 50% of the vote, but half of America decided that he was the better option when given the choice. And they say you get the leaders you deserve. Well, now they've got Trump. The culture wars, I mean, the cheer that went up when he spoke about the two genders, the cheers that went up when he spoke about the border, the Trump culture and the whole MAGA culture is one of sort of, it seems to me, of, you know, the targeting minorities, whether it's the trans community, whether it's immigrants, and it's just very ugly and very unhealthy. And I think that these culture wars will continue, but now they will have the force of Trump behind him and them, and we'll see with his executive orders, will they be challenged in the court? Yes, possibly. Will they go all the way to the Supreme Court? Almost certainly. And it's really what the Supreme Court will do then, if the Supreme Court is going to be in the tank with Trump, if it's going to take America all in the direction in which he wants it to go, which seems to be back to the 1950s.
Cal Thomas, welcome back, because now that Donald Trump has finished his inauguration speech, you're able to join us. How proud are you of the president you have now, having listened to that speech?
Well, pride is a very difficult thing, Matt. If you read scripture, it says it goes before the fall. So I thought for Trump, it was a rather modest speech compared to some of his others that he's made. But he has promised for as many as 200, we hear, executive orders to actually live up to his campaign promises, especially when it comes to the border and getting rid of criminal gangs. All of these things find a majority favor in the electorate, including among many Democrats. Who wants more crime in your neighborhood? Who wants more kidnappings and murders? These are very popular issues, and I think that he rang the bell on that. I thought he was praising in the patriotic sense the history and the beauty and the power of this country. One of the things he said he's going to stop wars. I don't know how that's going to happen. And there were a number of things that are problematic. But on the whole, I thought it was a positive inaugural address. And, he's going to be president for 4 years. So my condolences to both you and Marion.
Dave in Waterford says, brilliant speech from a brilliant man. All hail President Trump. Another one here, Kathy says, please stop calling me and other people who support Trump idiots. I don't think we have called anyone who supports Trump an idiot on the program this evening.
No.
Our world is in the toilet because of illegal immigrants and kids having gender reassignments, etc. But no one is brave enough to call it out, says Kathy. Okay, Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, stay with us and we'll continue. Oh no, we don't have traffic, but we will take a break. We'll be back after this.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local Life Pharmacies nationwide, including Brassels and Ballyhie and Brennan's and Donabate.
The highly anticipated return of Queens of the Stone Age. The End is Nero Tour. Irish Museum of Modern Art, Royal Hospital Kilmainham on the 20th of August. Subject to license. Queens of the Stone Age. Special guests, Amel and the Sniffers. Tickets from £69.90 on sale this Friday. Service charge will apply.
Citroën's professional van range is built for the pros. We know your van needs to be a multitasker. It's your transport, your office, sometimes even your kitchen. Citroën's new van range comes with Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, parking sensors, cruise control, three seats, and on Berlingo and Dispatch, Citroën's 5-year warranty. Available in diesel and electric, our multiple length and load capacities make your Citroën van the most versatile tool in your toolbox. Citroën, loved by pros for 100 years.
Tesco Club Card gives you the power to more with Tesco Mobile's new 5G SIM-only plan for just €20 a month, which means more data, access to the 5G network and more countries on our international minutes list, so you can say g'day to all your mates in Australia and beyond. Tesco Mobile, this is Supermarket Mobile. T's and C's apply. €20 5G Club Card SIM-only plan is subject to handset coverage and Club Card registration. 30-day rolling contract, direct debit required. Over 18s only. For more info, see tescomobile.ie.
World Show returns this weekend to the RDS. Hundreds of free prizes and lots of exclusive show deals. Dream cruises, honeymoon and wedding destinations. Caravans, camping, motorhomes, overseas properties, Discover Ireland Pavilion and worldwide locations. Holiday World Show RDS Dublin this Friday to Sunday.
Say goodbye to traditional peat briquettes and embrace the new sustainable alternative, Zip 100% Natural Heat Logs. Simply add them to a lit fire. These super efficient, low moisture Zip heat logs burn longer and hotter than wood, making them the cost effective way to heat your home. And they also produce less ash than peat briquettes, meaning reduced cleaning between fires. Zip 100% Natural Heat Logs are available in all good retailers. Give your fire some zip.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown are with us for analysis of that speech by Donald Trump on his inauguration. Owen texts in to say, the leader of the most powerful economy in the world has just confirmed he has zero concern for the environment and the US will continue to contribute massive carbon emissions despite the impact of global warming. This is the most worrying takeaway from the speech as it affects everyone worldwide. I suspect it's something we'll be talking to John Gibbons about about, certainly on Thursday. But what do you make of that, Marion McKeown? Because he did say that there's a national energy emergency and it's going to be drill, baby, drill.
Well, there is no national energy emergency. I mean, again, that's another thing that I alluded to earlier of inventing problems that actually don't exist. So I think that the listener's absolutely right that Trump, he will no doubt remove America again from the Paris Accords. But America is already producing a huge amount of energy of, you know, natural gas, fossil fuels. There, you know, Biden didn't really, he spent a lot of money and invested a lot in future green energy. But at the moment, America is still producing huge amounts of oil and gas. So, you know, there is no crisis. America should already be doing less, not more. So we'll see where that goes. But it is concerning. He's a climate change denier. But, you know, what strikes me more, Matt, I'm just watching this and it's still ongoing. 4 years ago in the Rotunda, and, the Rotunda is magnificent. It's quite small. There are probably about 250 people in there. And many days when I walk through there, there'd be a couple of school tours. You could barely get past them. It doesn't hold a lot of people for all his magnificence. This is where Trump sicked the mob. This is where they ran through screaming and shouting and defacing statues and all that kind of thing. And I think it's important not to normalise what's happening today. This is not normal that a convicted felon, somebody who would have been convicted of probably multiple more crimes had he not won the election, is now the president of America. Somebody who has shown contempt for the rule of law and order. Somebody who did nothing to stop the chance of hang Mike Pence or to protect his former vice president. This is where we are, and I think America needs to remember that, and the world needs to remember that. This is not normal.
What's your response to that, Cal? Because I think I hear you muttering in the background there.
Well, these are all old Democrat talking points. People are focused on the future. A new New York Times Ipsos poll, which came out at the weekend, shows that most Americans who were anti-Trump or were questionable about his character have now made an accommodation. They may not like him still, but they are increasingly in favor of his policies. That is a pretty remarkable poll, and I think it's accurate, and I think it's reflective of the attitude of a lot of Americans. We may not have an energy crisis, but I think people believe that the prices are still too high. The oil reserve needs to be refilled, totally drained by Joe Biden in order to try to bring down high gas prices of a couple of years ago, which were as high as $7 a gallon in California. So they are down now to $3, or depending on where you live, a little less than that. But people still think that the prices are too high. They're not the way they were 8 years ago. Inflation is still too high. Grocery prices are still too high. And this is what has concerned middle America. And that's why a lot of people, including a lot of the young people, voted for the first time for Donald Trump. And he has promised to give them what they voted for.
Where is America also going to do when it doesn't have any more new cars to drive around in? Because he tends to somehow resuscitate the American automobile manufacturing industry. How is he going to do that?
Well, it's about choice. You know, instead of an EV mandate, and even Elon Musk has cut back on his manufacturing of his Tesla car because there's not enough demand for it. This is ideology over reality. People want to have a choice. They don't want to be forced to drive electric cars. You know, if you live in a place like Florida, for example, where I do now, if there's a hurricane and people are ordered to evacuate and you get on Interstate 95, which is the major north-south highway on the east coast of the United States, and let's say it's packed, and what do you do if you run out of battery energy? There's no place to go. So people want a choice. They're told we have to have a choice on other things. We should have a choice on what kind of car we want to drive.
Cal, I think you actually missed the point of my question. You have a minuscule car manufacturing industry in the United States.
Yeah.
How are you going to be able to put one in place during Trump's 4 years so that people can buy American-made cars? And in addition to that, does that mean that Elon Musk is going to stop manufacturing his Teslas in China?
Well, that's a good question. We're about to find out. I think that a lot of it has to do with encouragement on taxes and regulations and making it more affordable and attractive for American manufacturers to build cars in America. In his inaugural address, Trump thanked the union auto workers of Detroit who he had said during the campaign were in danger of losing their jobs, and some have, because of cars being made elsewhere. So he wants to bring that back, and he got some of the union vote, not the leadership of the unions, but a lot of the blue-collar people. So we'll see if that happens. I hope it does.
Mary McCone, did Elon Musk get a lot of what he wanted from this speech? Two things that jumped out at me. Trump doubled down on DOGE, which is the Department of Government Efficiency, which Musk wants to co-chair. And also this commitment that America wants to colonize Mars, which is something that Musk is completely obsessed with. So is this a good day for Musk, looking at the way how he was gurning on the platform?
Oh my God, absolutely. I mean, this has been nothing but good for Elon Musk. His fortune has doubled. In his $250 million investment in Trump's campaign has resulted in a $250 billion return in a matter of weeks. So already he's way, way, way ahead. Secondly, he's the subject of 15 different federal investigations at the moment. You can be sure they will all go away, every one of them. And that's before we even get to Doge and to Mars and the rest of it. So yes, absolutely. And you know, even last night when Trump was at the Capital One Arena doing a reprise of his rallies, Musk came on stage again and with his triumphalism. And it's just this. But Cal referred to a New York Times poll. There was a Wall Street Journal poll that showed a lot of Americans want Trump, but they're really dubious about the extremes that he wants to go to. For example, 70% are against ending birthright citizenship. A lot of people are against. They want to be rid of any criminals who have into the country illegally, but they don't want millions of workers to be deported. They don't want a lot of what Trump is selling, but they do want lower prices. That's what Trump was elected on, lower prices, cheaper groceries, and he ain't going to be able to deliver that, particularly if he deports millions of workers and slaps 10-25% tariffs on everything.
Well, we'll be getting to tariffs and taxes with Dan O'Brien and Ian Guider after 6 o'clock. Here's another one who says, I feel the need to comment on today's items in relation to the Trump coverage. Number one, I'm not a fan of Trump. However, today's news reports and listeners' comments were all negative and even mocking the fact he believes in God. Very based against Trump. Hardly independent reporting and disappointing to hear such one-sided reporting. Well, we do have Cal Thomas with us. And Cal, in relation to God, how do you feel about him claiming that he was saved by God to make America great again?
Matt, that is a continuing controversy in this country. And I would just say that the man who was killed at that Butler, Pennsylvania rally, was he somehow disfavored by God? I think it's very, very problematic to invoke God for your policies. Abraham Lincoln said, you know, both sides invoke God, one for slavery, the other anti-slavery, both cannot be right. And, you know, the prophet Isaiah says in the Old Testament that God regards all nations as a drop in the bucket and less than nothing. That ought to be humbling. And this whole idea of civil religion, that somehow God is on the side of the Republican Party or the United States, and he loves our country, this country, better than Ireland or any other country, I think is a form of idolatry. And I'm very much opposed to it, and have written about it over the years and did a whole book on it called Blinded by Might in 1999.
Fair enough. Back to you, Marilyn. There were so many things we could pick up from the speech. I thought it was very noticeable that he was concerned that the wealthy in California don't have homes after the fire. That was one of his takeaways from that. But then the big statements such as America's decline is over, that this is Liberation Day, that a golden age is forthcoming in which America will flourish. Is this just the normal rhetoric, or is it worryingly over the top?
Well, you know, Trump is over the top. That is his persona. That is, everything is the greatest you've ever seen. Everything he does is like nothing you've ever seen before. That's how he talks. I was in Los Angeles during the fires, and for him to say that we watched the fires burn without even a token of defense just frankly made my blood boil, because I saw what the firefighters did, what the volunteers did, the 48-hour shifts, the exhaustion on their faces, and how dare he say that. He was invited to come come to, as president-elect to Los Angeles and to see the devastation, he didn't bother because it was easier and more convenient to diss Gavin Newsom and everybody else from a safe distance. So to me, this was outrageous. That was one of the things that I thought was particularly egregious and a sign of the way he will twist facts and for his own purposes.
And Cal, you've covered many American presidencies, not all of them, but many of them. And in his speech, Trump said, "I've been tested and challenged more than any other president." Has he really?
Oh, I agree with Mary, and that's the kind of hyperbole that we've come to expect from him. And I think people just take it with a grain of salt. More challenged than George Washington? More challenged than Abraham Lincoln? I don't think so. But again, you know, this is part of the pride that's part of the nature of Donald Trump. And I don't think it's going to change, absent some kind of lightning bolt.
Mary McCown, when he came in 8 years ago, he made all sorts of claims as to what he was about to do, and he did little of it. But this time round, now that he knows how things work, and given that the Republicans have control of the Senate and the House of Representatives, should we be taking Donald Trump this time round far more seriously than perhaps the last time?
Yeah, and I think we should have taken him more seriously the last time as well, because he did manage to do, inflict a colossal amount of suffering on, you know, we look at his policies, the immigration policies of 2018, the mismanagement of COVID, there were so many things, the demonization of people. I think this time he knows how the gears work, he knows how the levers of power work. He has got a trifecta, as you said, the Senate and the House of Congress by a sliver are also controlled by Republicans. We should be very concerned. I think that the most concerning one will be what happens at the border. Will there be mass camps? Will people be rounded up in the way that he's speaking about, you know, families, babies, etc., separated again? I'm really concerned about that. I'm concerned about his climate policies. But also, will America be pushed into another massive recession? Because you cannot have the combination, he's speaking about mass deportations and tariffs, etc., without inflation going up again. So I think there's a lot to be concerned about. If I were Vladimir Zelensky, I would also be very concerned right now. What's going to happen with Ukraine? A lot to worry about.
Marion McCown, Cal Thomas, thank you.
The Last Word
on Today FM.